You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Edward.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
As the author of The Dutch in Australia, and that's what we started to talk about earlier this month, but we didn't manage to go into the content of that book. And I must be honest, I haven't read it, but it is said to be a comprehensive history that you have written, and that is more than 30 years ago.
Yes, yes. Well, it covered the period from 1606 through to, essentially 1987. So it covered nearly 400 years of history. It's a very, very long period of contact between a non-Indigenous ethnic group and this continent.
Now, 30 years later, and this book is still available and you can buy it, would there be any supplements that you would like to add?
As I mentioned in a previous interview, I regret that I didn't mention the Easy Beats, half Dutch. I didn't know about Jan Raffo Ahern and her experiences as a so-called comfort woman during the Second World War. There were other important stories that could have been told, of course. And I've learned more about the history of Dutch exploration in the years since, and the significance of various aspects of Dutch encounters with the Australian coast. I suppose I might have been more careful in the way I use the word discovery. Obviously, people living here already had a sense of being here.
Yeah.
But certainly I talked about the way in which Dutch explorers ushered this continent into the European imagination.
Yeah.
And I still find it a fascinating subject. One aspect of the story that I reflect on, particularly given the continuing debate about Australia's treatment of refugees, is the fact that in the 1940s, the history of the Dutch in Australia was, in very many respects, a history of refugees.
Oh?
We tend to forget that. We tend to forget that 77 years ago this month, in the last 2 months of February 1942, some 8,000 refugees came from the Netherlands East Indies in the face of the Japanese onslaught and took refuge here in Australia.
I see.
And in all the stories, too, of Australia's heroic fight against Japanese militarism and fascism, we tend to overlook the fact that Dutch soldiers, refugees in Australia, airmen, squadron number 18 NEI and 120 NEI, basically with Dutch air crews, but Australian ground crews, fought the Japanese side by side. And go to a place like Queanbeyan, where I lived for a time in the 1980s, and it came as a surprise to discover that the Queanbeyan Hotel had been the headquarters of the Netherlands East Indies Air Force during the Second World War. There were a number of, I think it's two submarines, a minesweeper, troop carrier, and other merchant vessels took, and a light cruiser took refuge in Australia, and formed part of Admiral Lockwood's squadron. I think a third of the squadron based in Fremantle, but were involved in protecting troop transports and oil supplies. They were part of the story of the Second World War in Australia.
I see.
It's a story that's, I think, overlooked.
Yeah. And, well, this whole period of time from 1606 to 1987, I mean, that is a vast period of time. And what can you say? I mean...
Well, the proximity of the Netherlands East Indies obviously had a great deal to do with the Dutch contact with Australia, in shipping connections, telecommunications, air links. When you think about the story of the Iver, for example, the DC-2 that got in the McRobertson air race and got into trouble over the Australian Alps, and the town of the electrical engineer in Albury switching on the town's power supply, and in Morse code sending out the signal Albury in the flashing lights of the town, and then the people lining up with their car lights to make an improvised landing strip on the race course, I think it was. There's
where the Iver landed.
Yes. I can't help but I can't resist telling one story too in relation to the refugees coming and from the Netherlands East Indies. There was a Lieutenant Pelder who, together with two Australian flight sergeants, a New Zealander and a Canadian, Pelder had only ever flown a twin-engine Lockheed once as a trainee, and there were two damaged planes on a landing strip, one without a tail and one without a wing. So they took the tail off the one that had a tail and put it on the one that didn't have a tail.
Yeah.
My recollection is that they didn't have proper tools and had to use coins and screwdrivers whilst Pelder slept, and they had a school atlas to navigate, and they managed to get to Colombo. So there's some amazing stories of heroic air travel as part of the Dutch-Australian story.
Yeah, right. Amazing.
But look, there's other things that are also shameful. In the course of my research, I was rather shocked to find a secret cable that the Australian ambassador in The Hague sent to the Minister for External Affairs. Basically, the Australian government had pressured the Netherlands government into not including Jews in one of the initial Netherlands-Australian migration agreements. And it came as a great shock to read that. The Dutch government refused to make overt reference to that, but just simply gave a silent undertaking that there wouldn't be Jews included. But it was shocking, nevertheless.
When was this?
1946.
Just after all this.
Yeah, after the Holocaust. To read that the Australian government wanted Dutch immigrants, but they didn't want Dutch Jews.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, as a historian, you must come across, and that's very clear, all kinds of stories, and heroic, but also like these.
Yes, and I think you can be, certainly on a number of occasions, I've been deeply touched, affected. Even, you encounter an extraordinary woman in the historical records, and then suddenly discover this woman dying in childbirth and feel a deep, deep sadness at a wonderful, sparkling intellect snuffed out.
Yeah.
And even though, it's 200 years before, I think it's hard not to be affected by some of these stories.
Yes, yeah. Well, Edward, I'm about to finish this interview and realizing again that we have only touched...
just scratched the surface.
Yeah, that's the expression. We only just scratched the surface.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's amazing. And it is a recommendation to anyone who is interested to know about the Dutch in Australia from 1606 to 1987. You can find the book, and you can read all the research that Edward Duyker found and wrote. Edward Duyker, thank you so much again.
Thank you too, Franz. Bye.
sbs.com.au